We are now calling court file 824-1573, the state of Minnesota respondent versus Daniel Olson, appellant. Good morning, counsel, and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. In a moment, we are going to begin your oral argument. I do have a couple of announcements before we begin. Please note that you'll each have 15 minutes for your primary argument, with the appellant getting a 5-minute rebuttal. We are recording this. It's being live streamed, and then it will be recorded and placed on our website after the argument. So I ask that you, before each part of your argument, you state your name for the record. I will note that this is being argued here on Zoom, so I will remind any other individuals in the courtroom that no other recordings are allowed for our oral argument here on Zoom. With that, I will turn to the appellant. You can begin your argument when you are ready.
Good morning, may it please the court. My name is Evan Ottaviani, and I represent the appellant, Daniel Olson. A Beltrami County Sheriff's deputy pulled over Mr. Olson on a sunny day because the registered owner of the car he was driving was suspended. As this court can see on the body-worn camera video documenting the stop, every circumstance observable in the video showed Mr. Olson was not impaired. There was no questionable driving conduct. Mr. Olson was not combative with the officer. He was not evasive, and he did not appear to be hiding anything. His speech was not slurred or too fast. He was not agitated. He did not mispronounce or stumble over his words. In sum, his demeanor was appropriate and his conversation with the officer was normal. Despite all of the circumstances indicating Mr. Olson was not involved in criminal activity, the officer expanded the stop from a routine suspended license stop into a DWI investigation because Mr. Olson's eyes appeared glassy through his dark sunglasses. This factor alone cannot support reasonable articulable suspicion to expand the scope and duration of a traffic stop. The state would point to an additional factor, which would be the facial twitches. However, the state has failed to show that the officer observed the facial twitches before deciding to expand the scope of the stop, as well as the duration of the stop. So this court's attention should be on whether the officer had a reasonable articulable suspicion of criminal activity at the moment he decided to expand the stop by inquiring into medications.
Mr. Ottaviani, just assume for the sake of this question that we review the record and find that there is evidentiary support for the district court's findings that, in fact, the deputy observed glassy eyes and the twitching around the eyes. Is it your argument that under our case law, those indicia of impairment would be insufficient to expand the stop to include investigation of potential impairment?
So the case law says that those, if they're deemed to be indicia of intoxication, which I believe there's support in the record here, that they were merely contingent facts, meaning they could be indications of impairment. But the case law says that those indicia must be considered under the totality of the circumstances. So this court would be obligated to consider all of the circumstances of the stop, which I just listed, the lack of questionable driving conduct, his cooperation with the officer. Watching the video, of course, there's nothing in it that would indicate that he was impaired. So all of those circumstances would need to be weighed in addition to the potential indicia of intoxication and under the reasonable suspicion standard. So those totality of the circumstances do not support expanding the a routine suspended license stop into a DWI investigation. So those indicia,
I
sorry.
could just have one quick follow-up. So I understand you're emphasizing the totality as you should. That's what the case law says. But so if we see this instead as a series of steps, right, in the DWI investigation with, first the couple of questions in the car and then the request to get out of the car and do the field sobriety test so that the indicia, according to the trooper's testimony or the officer's testimony, keeps increasing, right? There's more indicia as a result of the performance under the field sobriety test. So then do we get to totality? I mean, again, I'm asking you to assume a series of factual findings that are opposite of what your client's position, but it seems consistent to me with what I read to be the district court's decision. So
Right. And so I think
yeah.
that's maybe part of the confusion here is what the attorneys stipulated to at the district court level was the first 6 minutes and 30 seconds of the video. That does not include the field sobriety tests. So the relevant factors for whether the officer expanded the scope of the stop or not occurred before the field sobriety tests.
Okay, so
So
you're
that
saying just based on this initial expansion, so is that the very first question? Is that the point that you're
Yes, so the officer would
defending?
need to have reasonable articulable suspicion at the moment of expansion. That's Wiegand.
Well, help me out. So where are you saying the moment of expansion is? So.
And that's when he asked about medications, which he acknowledges at the hearing. That was when he began his DWI investigation. So at that point, he has pivoted from engaging in a suspended license stop to engaging in another investigation, which is DWI under Wiegand. At that point, he needs to have reasonable articulable suspicion.
And your position is that the glassy eyes and the observation of the twitching by the eyes aren't enough under these circumstances to warrant the question about medication and then the movement into field sobriety testing.
Correct. They wouldn't be
That's your
sufficient
idea.
to expand the scope of the stop. And that's if this court were to find that the facial twitches had support in the record that he saw those before he asked the question, which I can tell this court isn't supported in the transcript. What happens at the hearing is that on direct, it's just said, during the course of the stop, what did you see? He says he saw glassy eyes. He says he saw facial twitches. And then on cross, the defense attorney asks, so you saw those facial twitches while the sunglasses were on? And he says yes. And so that's the extent of like when he actually saw it. Mr. Olson was wearing sunglasses when the officer asked the question about medications. He was wearing sunglasses, after Mr. Olson answers the question, and he continues to wear sunglasses until the officer asks him to move them. At that point, the officer says, "Oh, your eyes are a little red too." He doesn't tell Mr. Olson at that point, "Oh, I saw some subtle facial spasms." They're described in various ways throughout the record as well. So I think whatever weight these have is pretty minor. They're not visible for this court. So, whether or not the officer saw them is not really at issue here. It's just what weight they actually have under the totality of the circumstances test.
Can I stop you there? So you would say, let's assume for purposes of our argument that the officer did see the glassy eyes and the twitching, but it's just not enough to ask about medication.
I would assume that he saw that at some point while Mr. Olson was wearing sunglasses. The state has not proven, as they're required to, that he saw that before deciding to expand the scope of the stop. And so that is the state's burden to prove the circumstances that it would use to justify an expanded stop. And the state has not done that here. So using only the glassy eyes as a factor, this court should consider whether the totality of the circumstances indicated that Mr. Olson was engaged in intoxicated driving behavior. And of course, that is not supported, as I said. So that test is a particularized and objective test. So as far as the particularized part of that standard goes, the officer testifies that both the glassy eyes and the facial twitches could be an indication that someone has ingested a controlled substance. He doesn't say that to him it meant that he believed Mr. Olson was intoxicated. So we can look at Wiegand, which is a case with glassy eyes, and the court specifically says, well, the officer didn't believe that Wiegand was intoxicated. That's the same situation we have here. The officer never says he believed, based on XYZ, Mr. Olson was intoxicated. He simply says these individual factors could be an indication someone has ingested a controlled substance.
And why isn't that sufficient to expand to ask the question about medication and do field sobriety testing?
Because the standard that we have is the reasonable articulable suspicion standard. So he would need, again, a totality of the circumstances would need to indicate he reasonably believes Mr. Olson is engaged in criminal activity. It does not say, whether there's any chance that someone may be. That's what the other circumstances are for. So he's engaging with Mr. Olson for 6 minutes. He's seen no indications that Mr. Olson is intoxicated, and then he sees one indication, perhaps maybe he is. Under the reasonable suspicion standard, that's not enough. His investigation, starts the moment he pulls him over. He doesn't, he just needs to engage in the reason for the stop. And that's also what Wiegand says. As long as you're kind of engaging in the reason that you're doing the stop, he can look for any observations he wants. Perhaps he could ask non-invasive questions. But this question, of course, asking if someone's taking medications, being asked by an agent of the state, what medications are you taking, is a substantial invasion in one's privacy interests. He's going to feel compelled to tell this officer any medications he's taking. The officer doesn't kind of specify what his suspicion is at that point. He doesn't even say, "Oh, I think you might have some glassy eyes. Do you have a reason for that?" He starts with this question that is very invasive and he acknowledges is an expansion of the stop into a DWI investigation. So, based on that record, no, it is not a particularized suspicion Mr. Olson is intoxicated. Instead, it's a generalized suspicion based upon the idea that when one has glassy eyes, they could have ingested a controlled substance. That doesn't amount to reasonable suspicion of criminal activity.
So let me ask this about a slightly different sequence of events, and it's not what the was in the record as having occurred here. But say instead of asking this question about are you currently taking medications at all, what if the deputy had instead asked the second question he asked, which is, I see your eyes are red. Is there any reason for that? So that's a more open-ended question. Is that
Perhaps an
an
open-ended,
appropriate question? I mean, it sounds like you're saying maybe, but I'm not trying to
perhaps
interpret
that
that.
could be because it's more tied to kind of what's happening in front of him. It's not as invasive as a question, are you taking medications? So perhaps if that was the record before this court, the situation would be different. Of course, that's not the record for this court. The first question that he asks is about the medications.
How about that third question? Did you have trouble sleeping last night? And asking him
Again.
to remove his sunglasses. Let's take it in steps. So is it okay to ask him, he sees red eyes through the sunglasses. He gets this answer about it being sunny out, which, whatever. The trooper doesn't record his reaction, but then ask the next question, which is, would you take your sunglasses off?
Right. And so that perhaps again would be permissible. That's not the record we have. The record we have is he asks an impermissible question first. At the point of the stop where the initial reason for the stop has been concluded, he just had a conversation with Mr. Olson, which was entirely permissible about his license status. He can triple checks it. He comes back. He talks to Mr. Olson about it. During that whole time, of course, Mr. Olson is
I'm just trying to
cooperating.
understand how we draw the line meaningfully. Okay. So I
Yes.
get the earlier part in relation to the initial
Got
stop.
it.
Yeah. So if you don't mind, I'm just trying to say, so it's the question about prescriptions, not because it's not logically tied to red eyes, right? It's because you're talking about a privacy interest or something, but the taking off sunglasses isn't a privacy interest or something like that. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm trying to.
Yes. So under Wiegand, which I think that this case would be resolved under, the question is, is he beginning a new investigation? And at least for purposes of the record we have, it's very clear that his question about medications was meant to engage in a DWI investigation, and ultimately a DWI stop. So that would resolve this question here. As to your Honor's question about, just asking him to remove his sunglasses, or asking him about why his eyes are glassy, perhaps those things could be reasonable under different circumstances, but that's not what we have here. So then, of course, these circumstances need to be objective. So objectively, if we're putting ourselves in the shoes of a reasonable person, no reasonable person would watch this stop, even knowing that the appearance of glassy eyes could indicate someone has ingested a controlled substance. A reasonable person observing the full 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes of this stop would come out of that believing, well, this individual was not intoxicated. Additionally, we have to consider the way in which the officer viewed the eyes in the first place. That's through dark tinted sunglasses. So using the objective standard, we have a reasonable person who's seeing someone's eyes through dark tinted sunglasses with all of this understanding of, hey, no circumstance up to this point has indicated this person is impaired and cannot drive.
Don't we, as part of our assessment of the totality of the circumstances, defer to a deputy's sort of specialized training and in understanding what glassy eyes mean or twitching near the eyes would mean in a
And
way that we might not?
we do. So that is part of the consideration for which of the factors are present in a case. And so here the factor would be The appearance of glassy eyes can indicate someone has ingested a controlled substance. Now, the objective part of this is still relevant. Just because we take into account the officer's training experience doesn't change the standard from objective to subjective. And there's plenty of cases that reiterate that point. I think Taylor's a relevant one for this fact as well. In Taylor, the officer believed that someone's license being canceled, inimical to public safety, excuse me, meant that they had multiple DWI convictions. That point alone warrants a dissent, which points to this policy consideration that we can't allow for highly speculative stops that would allow for intrusions into perfectly law-abiding motorists' privacy interests. I think that's a relevant policy consideration for this case. And so in back to Taylor, there was a second factor that directly related to possible use, and that was the beer cans behind the seat with the flap open. So there were kind of multiple factors that could reasonably lead the officer to believe that the driver was impaired. Here we have one single factor and many other factors that still must be weighed. So yes, the officer's training experience is relevant for that single factor. However, it doesn't subsume the rest of the totality of the circumstances objective test. It's just a piece of that test that must be weighed. And now Taylor says, I see I'm just about out of time. If I can just finish this point about Taylor, if that's all right.
You can go ahead and finish your thought.
Taylor does specifically say, it's not saying that the cancel inimical to public safety factor or the beer behind the seat factor individually would have been enough. It was the combination of the two that led to reasonable suspicion in that case.
Thank you, counsel. All right. Counsel, you can begin when you are ready with your argument.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Simon Schindler Syme, and I represent the state of Minnesota, County of Beltrami, in this matter. Really, what this case is about, from our standpoint, judges, is that deference to the district court's finding of credibility that Deputy Hardy observed signs of impairment and the legal standard of reasonable articulable suspicion to expand the traffic stop. I really outlined most of that in my brief. I don't know how much more you want me to talk about that now. But I'm available for any questions. I think to
Well, counsel, I guess I do have a question. Your opposing counsel kind of points to the similarities between this and State v. Wiegand. My question for you, it seems to me in Wiegand, the court not only had observation of glossy eyes, but the defendant there was shaking and had very slow and quiet speech and was nervous. It seemed like there were more indicia of impairment than we have here, and that court found that that wasn't enough. Why shouldn't this court, kind of following Wiegand, find that just the mere observation of glossy eyes through dark sunglasses would be sufficient to expand the search to a DWI search when, prior to that question, there seems to be no other indicia of intoxication, looking at the totality of the circumstances?
Okay, thank you, Judge Harris. I would have two responses to that. One, I'd argue that Wiegand is quite distinguishable because the issue in Wiegand was an expansion to do a dog sniff around the car. So in Wiegand, the question is whether or not there can be an expansion for drugs, perhaps, or some contraband present in the vehicle. And I'd argue that just because someone is impaired or shows signs of drug impairment does not necessarily mean that there's expansion to search a vehicle. Because drug use versus possession could have happened, or the use could have happened, at a totally different time and location, because drugs can stay in a person's body for hours and even days. Whereas this case, it's about expansion into a DWI investigation, which is directly related to the signs of impairment. It's much more directly related. I'd also note too, as I argued in my brief, the case law is pretty clear that even for probable cause to arrest for a DWI offense, there just needs to be one objective indicia of impairment to lawfully arrest under a probable cause standard. I mentioned the probable cause standard because that's a higher standard than reasonable articulable suspicion. And in this case, we have two objective indicias of impairment. We have the glassy eyes and the facial movements, which Deputy Hardy testified to, in which the court found implicitly that Deputy Hardy was credible. I also noted that in the
Do we
Pierre
have
case.
the face twitches before the expansion? Because it seems opposing counsel's argument is that at least I hear them to say that they would agree that you have the glossy eyes, but the record doesn't sufficiently establish that the officer observed the twitches prior to the expansion. So do we have that here?
In all candor to the court, I think that's a fair point to raise. I guess reading the transcript naturally, I think that would be a natural interpretation, is that he did have that. But even assuming that the twitches did not occur until later, after that question was asked, again, one indicia of impairment suffices, and that's the glossy eyes. I noted that in the State versus Taylor case, which opposing counsel pointed out, and I cited in my brief. In that case, there is not a single objective indicia of sign of impairment that was observed by the driver. The driver had no signs of impairment before the traffic stop was expanded. It was based solely on the fact that the defendant's driver's license was canceled as inimical to public safety, which can be based on prior DWIs and that open container of beer, or not even container, I think it was an open case, but there's really not a single sign of impairment to expand. And in this case, we have more. Even if you take away the muscle twitches, you have the glassy eyes, and that alone, we argue, is enough to expand to see if there's impairment or not.
But counsel, isn't this case distinguished from Taylor? Because, and you can tell me if my recollection isn't correct, but in Taylor, you had not only the one sign, but there was an open container, I believe a 12-pack of alcohol in the back seat with one can missing that the officer saw kind of in plain view. So again, if we're looking at the totality of the circumstances, it seems to me, again, here we have one thing, glossy eyes. And in Taylor, they had obviously the one observation, but they also had the fact that there is an open container of alcohol, which then provided that totality of the circumstances. Am I incorrect in my recollection of that case? And if so, go ahead.
Factually, I think you're correct, but legally, I'd argue that this case is actually stronger because, again, in Taylor, it was just his license was canceled. That's really not a sign of impairment. Just because someone's license is canceled doesn't mean that they use drugs or alcohol. This case, we have an actual physical sign of impairment coming from the driver himself. So I'd argue that the circumstances in our case are actually stronger than they were in Taylor. But I think that's more of a that's more of a legal argument, but that'd be my argument, is that actual signs of physical impairment are stronger than just, well, his license was canceled previously because of DWIs and you're missing that can of beer, but there's no actually signs of impairment at the time.
Well, I understand Appellant's argument, and I just want to hear your response to it. It is that what we have is an officer who's asking an intrusive inquiry as to prescription, what your prescriptions are, of the driver, Mr. Olson in this case, before any basis to suspect impairment. So there is just that glossy eyes, although certainly that is indicia, and it can be added to other indicia to get to reasonable articulable suspicion. But that glossy eyes on its own, with nothing more, no observation of impairment, it's just not enough to inquire to that level. I mean, how do you respond to it?
I guess I'd respond by citing to Deputy Hardy's training and experience, which he testified to his prior training, going to that A-Ride training, rigorous field training with the Beltrami County Sheriff's Office, hands-on training in controlled substance driving impaired investigation, and his testimony that he recognized the sign glassy eyes as being a sign of impairment based on that training and experience.
Okay, so I understand it is an indicia. I don't hear appellant
Okay.
questioning whether it is an indicia. It's just we get to decide. It's us, not the deputy's training, decide that legal standard, right? Is it reasonable articulable suspicion to initiate a specific DWI, or here, prescription drug investigation, or a use illegal drug investigation? But so you get my question? I mean, does it have to be more than glassy eyes and maybe twitching, both, just because they're quite minor symptoms that could be explained by things like tiredness or sunshine or something, or even regular prescribed drug use. I mean, there are a lot of legal innocent explanations for those two, although they are also indicia. So we need the officer needed something else, you know. And if the officer had observed impaired driving conduct, we'd be there. I think I hear appellant saying we'd probably be there. That's just not what we had in this record. So how do
Fair
you?
enough. And I guess what I'd say is the standard is very low. Again, reasonable articulable suspicion to expand is very low. He sees these signs of impairment, which, based on his training experience, are indicative of someone who's using. It doesn't mean that that's proof alone. That's why there's further things that are done, field sobriety tests, search warrants for blood or urine to really figure out if someone's using or not. But again, the case law is pretty clear that I think just one indicia of impairment is what's necessary to even arrest somebody under the probable cause standard, which is means it's even lesser for reasonable articulable suspicion. So based on that, I'd argue that there's enough reasonable suspicion to expand the stop based on Deputy Hardy's training and experience and recognizing those signs of impairment. I also note that for DWI cases, many cases, there's not actually signs of driving because there's no driving at all. The DWI statute criminalizes simply being in physical control of a vehicle, meaning, if someone's got the engine running, or even the key is just in the ignition and the radio playing, they're seated in the driver's seat, that can be enough for physical control. And in those cases, you'll never have signs of actual driving conduct because there was no driving at all. I just note a few other things while I was taking some notes when opposing counsel was making some arguments, and I just want to address a few of those arguments made by I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly. Is it Mr. Ottavani? I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he said something on the lines of no reasonable person would watch the stop and conclude that Mr. Olson was impaired. And again, I'd argue that that's not exactly the standard because the courts can, or trained law enforcement officers are entitled to make deductions and conclusions based on their training and experience that differ from what a reasonable person or not a reasonable person, what an untrained person would be unable to deduce and determine. I'd also note that what a person sees in person oftentimes is different than what a person sees. Can see in a body camera recording video. Deputy Hardy testified to that and explained that the recording what he is different than what he sometimes sees in person. I also cited some case law in my brief to explain that stops and things of that nature do not always need to be captured on recording to make the stop or expansion lawful. Just trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to add to this. But really, those are my arguments. My arguments are contained in the brief, and I know I have some more time, but I really don't have much more to argue at this point unless there's any further questions that you have for me.
Are there any? I don't see any additional questions from the panel, so thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
All right, we will wait for the time to be reset. I see that it's now reset. Counsel, you can begin your rebuttal when you are ready.
Thank you. Evan Ottaviani for appellant. I just want to address a couple things. Mr. Schindler-Syme brought up the one indicia of impairment rule from the probable cause case law. Of course, that is a different standard. So its applicability to this situation and the reasonable suspicion standard is slim to none, I would say. But additionally, Martin, which is a case I cited in my case law, says that the Holtz decision, which is that's the case originally announcing this rule, is misread if it is seen as authority to find probable cause for implied consent testing whenever one objective indicia of intoxication is proven. So even that rule itself doesn't mean simply the presence of one indicia of intoxication is enough for probable grounds. The case law in Martin and since then is clear that that's also a totality of the circumstances test, which of course probable cause and reasonable suspicion are both totality of the circumstances. They have different standards because one is lower than the other. However, all of the circumstances must still be considered. It's not simply a one indicia test. for impairment. The case that the state cites, Kier, I believe Kier, in that case, there is a strong odor of alcohol, bloodshot, watery eyes, slurred speech. The driver was driving with no headlights. He told the officer he's got to take a piss. He walked away from the officer at one point. He had an open can of beer on a cooler next to him. That is the case the state cites for this rule. Obviously, there's a number of circumstances and indicia of intoxication. So this case, the situation is not ruled or governed by that law. Instead, I would point to Wiegand and the reasonable suspicion line of cases that I spoke about and cited in our brief. Additionally, Miller, which is a case I cite, and I understand the state's contention with that is that Miller deals with indicia and circumstances relating to a passenger in a vehicle. The vehicle just left a known drug house. The passenger did not respond to officers. The passenger had glassy eyes. The passenger had lethargy, and the officer suspected a drug-related criminal activity. Miller said that was not enough for a dog sniff, and Miller specifically points out that those factors, including glassy eyes, could be due to fatigue. So that is, in our case law, the court has acknowledged that there are multiple reasons someone could have glassy eyes. To call it an objective indicator of intoxication, I think is a stretch. It's a subjective indicator, perhaps, based on other factors. It's a contingent indicator. There needs to be other circumstances. This case lacks any other circumstances to indicate impairment to justify a DWI investigation. So based on that, I would see the rest of my time, and I would ask this court to reverse the district court's suppression order, and then vacate Mr. Olson's conviction. Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments today and your briefs. The matter is now submitted. We will issue a written opinion within the statutory guidelines. Again, thank you both.
Thank you.